Let us offer our most grateful and reverential salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dearest Swami, please bless us so that we walk on the path laid down by you with determination. Even if we falter a million times, we get up every time with added vigor, with added zeal, and we proceed on the path shown by you, holding your hand and walking towards you relentlessly. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome dear listeners to a fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today we will be learning a bhajan dedicated to adoring our beloved Bhagwan as the avatar of the age. This bhajan is in Hindi and the first line goes like this.
Sai avatara, yuga avatara.
So let's begin by becoming familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan. And then as always, we'll move on to the tune, the raga, the meaning of its every word. And in the end, we will listen to Brother Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim, a former student of Bhagwan's university, who is a Prashanti Mandir bhajan singer who sang in front of Bhagwan for nearly 2 decades and currently is actively involved in the Sai Bhajan movement in India and elsewhere.
Sai avatara, yuga avatara, dina dayala, sankata hara. Sai avatara, yuga avatara, Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu, Sai Maheshwara, Satya Sai, Prema Sai, Sab Dharmo Ke Baba Sai, Sai Parameshwara.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line and Brother Anirudh follow him after every line.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale G sharp Pancham.
Sai avatara, yuga avatara.
Sai avatara, yuga avatara.
Sai avatara, yuga avatara.
Sai avatara, yuga avatara.
Dina dayala, sankatahara.
Dina dayala, sankatahara.
Dina dayala, sankatahara.
Dina dayala, sankatahara.
Sai avatara, yuga avatara.
Sai avatara, yuga avatara.
Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu.
Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu.
Sai Maheshwara,
Sai Maheshwara,
Sai Maheshwara,
Sai Maheshwara,
Sai avatara, yuga avatara.
Sai avatara, yuga avatara.
Satya Sai, Prem సాయి
సత్య సాయి ప్రేమ సాయి
సబ్ ధర్మో కే బాబా సాయి
సబ్ ధర్మో కే బాబా సాయి
సాయి పరమేశ్వరా
సాయి పరమేశ్వరా
సాయి పరమేశ్వరా
సాయి పరమేశ్వరా
సాయి అవతారా యుగావతారా.
So dear listeners, you must have enjoyed how this bhajan flows. Ravi Kumar and Anirudh gave you a lovely demonstration. And now for those of us who are keen students of music, let us learn a little more about the composition. Anirudh is here with us in the studios. So tell us, Anirudh, what is the raga behind this bhajan?
Saram Bishu.
Saram.
This beautiful composition is in the rag Charukeshi.
Okay.
It is a very soothing raga. And it has a minor touch. Most of the times it is used as a sad
melancholic.
And a melancholic feeling. But there are notes which can be used as only the happy part of it, the major part of it.
Okay.
But it's a mixture actually. The emotion.
So you can do both in this.
Yeah. But most of the part it is, means the raga, the flavor, the essence is more in the dha. Yeah, the dha and the ni.
Being komal.
And in this raga you have the notes
sa re.
Re is shudri.
Ga.
Ga is also shuddh ga. Major.
Ma pa dha.
Dha is komal dha.
Ma pa dha ni.
Ni is komal ni.
Ma pa dha ni sa ni dha pa dha ma ga ga ma re re sa ni sa dha 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 ni sa ri. Padani sare ga ma padani sa da sa ga ma padani sare ga ma pa da ma ga ga ma da ni ni da pa da ma wa pa ga ga ma re ni re sa sa i avatara yuga avatara.
Amazing. How I wish this alap did not stop, because you really appreciate, you get lost in what this raga can do to you.
Yeah, it is it's rich with emotions, and
yes.
You can very easily connect to, if you're in the, you know, the melancholic state.
Yes.
And like, why
you want to communicate to the Lord through prayer.
Yeah. Yes. It helps a lot, and yes. Very powerful raga.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's go on and do the swaras for every line, Anirudh.
Yeah. This bhajan, as listeners would have heard the tune. This bhajan has got three stanzas,
yeah.
But only thing, the same tune comes for every part.
It repeats.
Every stanza, it repeats. Yeah. So we'll do the swaras for the one stanza.
One paragraph.
So that it is applicable for the other two.
Yes.
We'll do the first line.
Yeah. Anand is here with us to follow as you do the swaras.
Yeah.
Sai avatara yuga avatara nene saga magari magare sada dapagamadapa
nene saga magari magare sada dapagamadapa
dina dayala sankatahara nene sasa gari magare sa
nene sasa gari magare sa.
And we come back to the first line. The next lines are
Sai Brahma Sai Vishnu nene sasa gari magare sa.
The same set of swaras,
yeah,
are applicable to these lines. And we go to the next line.
Sai Maheshwara Sagaga Madhadapa Mapagamaga
Sagaga Madhadapa Mapagamaga.
The second time.
Sai Parameshwara Sagaga Manidhapa Magaresa
Sagaga Manidhapa Magaresa.
So that's what repeats in the next stanza also.
Yeah.
Okay, so let us do the beat of this bhajan, Anirudh.
Yeah. So this bhajan is a slow bhajan, as we all heard.
Yeah.
And it is 8 beat.
So you can sing it probably second or third.
Yeah. Yeah. And the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Sai Avatara Yuga Avatara
Sai Avatara Yuga Avatara.
Beautiful. And so, Anirudh, before we wind up this Raga Tala session, tell us more bhajans in this beautiful Raga.
Yeah, in Charukeshi you have
Shri Ramachandra Jaya Ramachandra
and
Prata Smaranam Shri Ramam.
And you have in 1 in 6 beat, which is
Nanda Nandana Navanita Chora.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So we are now familiar with the lyrics, the raga and the tala of the bhajan. Let's move on to understanding the inner feeling with which the bhajan should be sung so that we can offer it with heartfelt devotion to our beloved Bhagwan. And for this we need to understand the meaning of every word in this bhajan. So let's get started with the first line.
Sai Avatara Yuga Avatara.
Here the first word is Sai. One meaning of this name is Master. Avatara, the second word, means incarnation of God. In a broad sense, everything in the universe is a manifestation of God. Yet, the name Avatar is reserved for incarnations wherein the Lord deliberately assumes a specific form for a specific purpose.
Swami says the word avatar means descent. It is a descent from the state of the Atma to the state of the body. Bhagwan further dispels the myth that an avatar loses its original divine nature by coming down in human form. Swami says, out of his love and compassion and affection for mankind, the Lord descends to the human level. And why does he do it? He does it in order to elevate men to Godhood. And such a descent never in any way diminishes divinity. In fact, once while speaking about himself, Bhagwan declared, the avatar's movements and activities might appear ordinary and commonplace to some people. However, there can be no ordinary or commonplace things, events in the life of avatars. The formless being comes in the form of a human being so that he may mingle with mankind, so that he may set examples and ideals for human beings and convey to them all aspects of life and living that they should learn. The avatar behaves in a human way so that mankind can feel kinship with the avatar, but at the same time the avatar rises to superhuman heights so that mankind too can aspire to reach those heights. So that is something about the avatar, the phenomenon of avatar. Moving on, the word yuga means era or a span of time. During the summer course of 1978, Bhagwan explained the concept of yuga and said the great sages in ancient India divided time into four yugas called Krita Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Trita Yuga and Kali Yuga. And these yugas continue to come again and again. The word Krita indicates four times and the word Trita indicates three times. Dwapara signifies two times and Kali gives us an authoritative unit of measurement. So according to the sages, 4,32,000 years is the basic unit and it represents the number of years in a Kali Yuga. Two times this represents the Dwapara Yuga. Three times this basic number is the measure of Treta Yuga and four times this measure refers to Krita Yuga. By adding the total number of years for all the four yugas, we get 43,20,000 years and this refers to one Mahayuga. After a Mahayuga, the Krita Yuga starts again. On another occasion, Bhagwan gave an amazing revelation about the present Kali Yuga and the trilogy of the Sai avatars and the absolute uniqueness of this trilogy. And Swami said, this Kalpas, Manvantaras, Chatur Yugas, that is the four Yugas, they have come and they will come again. Many Chatur Yugas have come and in those Chatur Yugas, the Savataras descended. But in the present Chatur Yuga, that is this four Yugas, Swami said the 10th avatara, that is the Kalki, has split into three aspects as the forms of Shirdi Sai, Satya Sai and Prem Sai. And Swami said this has not happened before and can only be seen in this Kali Yuga. Sai avatars neither had taken place in earlier Kali Yugas nor will take place in future Kali Yugas. During Shirdi avatara, Swami said, I was preparing the food. In the Satya Sai avatara, I am serving the food. People say that Shirdi Baba used to get angry. Swami said, while preparing the food, if the children trouble the cook, will he not get angry? In the Prema Sai avatara, everyone will enjoy the fruits of the divine meal that the avatar has cooked. In the book Sri Satya Sai Anandadai written by Karunamba Ramamurthy, she narrates what Bhagwan told about the Triple Sai incarnations. Sometime during the late 40s, Swami made a proclamation to devotees at the old mandir in Puttaparthi and he said, three avatars will descend to earth after Rama and Krishna. All these would be in the very sacred and holy land of Bharat, India. The first in Shirdi as Shirdi Sai, then as Satya Sai in Puttaparthi and the third in a village in Karnataka as Prema Sai. My Sankalpa, my will be fruitful with these three avataras. The world will be a peaceful and joyful place to live in. Bhagwan further added, I can see things which even the most sophisticated instrument cannot. I can diagnose and cure diseases beyond the capacity of medical science. I don't read books, but I know the entire history of the universe. I can see the present, the past and the future. I am beyond time
and space. I have taken avatar not to do small things, but to do great things, to uplift the world. My task is gigantic, to uplift whole mankind and put them onto the correct path of Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema and Ahimsa, and grant liberation for aspirants. In doing my work, I fear no one. I do not bend to anybody, for I am the truth. This is what Bhagwan declared. We are indeed so blessed to know the Lord in this incarnation as Sai, as Satya Sai. So in this line, we offer our respectful salutations to Lord Sai, the Supreme Lord, the avatar of the age who has blessed us, so that we may think of him, so that we may love him, we feel one with him, we adore him. Let's move on to the second line.
Deena Dayala Sankatahara.
Deena means weak and forlorn. Dayala comes from Daya, which means compassion. It means one who is compassionate. The third word is Sankata, which means trouble. And the last word is Hara, which means destroyer. So in this line, Deena Dayala Sankatahara, we praise Lord Sai as the one who is immensely compassionate towards those who are distressed and forlorn. Let's move on to the third line.
Sai Avatara Yuga Avatara.
This is a repeat of the first line of this bhajan. There's a beautiful incident recorded in the volume 1 of Satyam Shivam Sundaram, the biography of Bhagwan Baba. A venerable monk named Swami Sachidananda, who was the organizing secretary of the branches of the Divine Life Society, came to Bhagwan sometime in the late 50s. He even had the opportunity to travel with Swami to Kodaikanal. He was in Baba's room one afternoon in the bungalow in Kodaikanal, and Baba was reclining on his bed, but suddenly Swami stood up and he shouted, "Don't shoot!" He shouted in Telugu and he fell upon the bed in a trance. Swami's body became stiff and it remained so for an hour. When he came out of the trance, Swami looked at the people around him and he wanted a telegram to be sent urgently to an address at Bhopal. And Swami indicated the message and the address. The message read, "Do not worry, the revolver is with me, Baba." And Swami Sachidananda expressed doubt whether the postal authorities would accept the message because it spoke of revolvers, which came under the Arms Act, because these were much before the days of internet, Gmail, SMS and so on. When Swami Sachidananda expressed this reservation, others too supported him, and there was some argument, and then finally Baba wanted that the telegram should be sent quickly, and so alternative words were discussed, and Swami Sachidananda suggested the word instrument instead of revolver, and Swami agreed. And so the telegram was sent to Bhopal, and everyone was anxious to know what the nature of the averted tragedy was, but Swami did not divulge any information. But on the fourth day, a letter came from Bhopal, and that was read out to all. The writer of the letter had served in the Second World War and was high in government service. He was very much upset by the administrative rearrangements following the reorganization of states, because persons far junior in service were hoisted on top of him, and he had no one nearby to assuage or comfort or even listen to his tale of woe. His wife was away at her parents' village, and distracted by the unlucky turn in his career, he decided to end his life by means of a revolver. He tried one shot just to see whether his hand would be steady for the fatal second, but before he could shoot next, there was a loud bang at the door. And so the officer ran into the bedroom, placed the revolver on the bed, threw a sheet over it and hurried back to the front hall and opened the front door. And there he saw an old college mate accompanied by his wife and a porter with a trunk and other luggage who had come. And so the college mate was very boisterous and demonstrative. He had just the qualities that would remove the melancholy of the officer. And the officer too responded, and he became quite normal very soon. He even laughed at the jokes of his old friend, and as the conversation proceeded, all those thoughts of suicide just melted away.
The lady who had come also joined in the talk, but when they discovered that the mistress of the house was away, the visitor put on an air of profound disappointment and said that he would prefer to stay with another friend. And so, in spite of the appeals of the officer, the friend departed 45 minutes later along with his wife and the porter, the trunk and all the luggage. And after seeing them off, the officer now hurried into the bedroom, and there he was struck to find that the revolver which he had placed under the sheet was now not there. It was not there anywhere in the house. So who could have taken it? He then remembered that he had once gone to Puttaparthi and his wife is an ardent devotee of Swami, and so the thought came, could it be Baba? Has Baba done some miracle? And then what occurred to him is, were those visitors also Baba who had come in different forms? So what he did is, he locked his house and he ran in hot haste to the address to which the college mate said he would be going, to another friend's place. And when he went there, he found no one there. And now his doubt was confirmed. All the three visitors had just melted into thin air. Not only them, their luggage, their trunk, everything had disappeared. And when he returned home and he was thinking about the entire turn of events that had happened that day, he was so stunned. And even when he was going through all this, there was now another knock on the door. And now it was the telegraph messenger, and the wire from Kodaikanal read, "Do not worry, the instrument is with me, Baba." When this was read out, Swami Sachidananda said, "This incident is much stranger than Parakaya Pravesham, that is extolled in the Puranas. Parakaya Pravesham is the entering into an existing body of something disembodied. But the incident at Bhopal is Kaya Shrishti, that is the creation at the very moment of willing of three bodies, three Kayas, and making the bodies act their roles. That is the impersonation of existing individuals correct to the minutest detail of voice and genuflection, gait and gesture, idiom and idiosyncrasy, and the recitation of incidents and anecdotes relating to decades past when they were both students of the same college. All of this is so astounding. This is Kaya Srishti. It's almost creating a scene out of nothing with so many characters and everything so exact and perfect. This is possible only for an avatar of God," Swami Sachidananda declared. "Sai Avatara, Yuga Avatara. Let us offer ourselves to the all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent Lord, who would go to any extent to save us and protect us." Let's move on to the fourth line.
Sai Brahma, Sai Vishnu.
Here the word Brahma refers to Lord Brahma, one among the holy trinity of gods according to ancient Indian culture, spirituality. Brahma is considered the aspect of divinity responsible for the creation of the cosmos, and Vishnu similarly is that part of Trinity who is in charge of the sustenance of the universe. So in this line we adore Lord Sai, who is verily the creator and the sustainer of this cosmos. Let's move on to the fifth line.
Sai Maheshwara.
Maheshwara refers to Lord Shiva, the third among the Holy Trinity, and Lord Shiva is considered that aspect of divinity responsible for the dissolution of the universe. Maheshwara comes from Maha meaning great, and Ishwara means Lord. Bhagavan says the word Ishwara means the divinity that is regarded as the possessor of the infinite and inexhaustible wealth. And what kind of wealth? It is all kind of wealth, which includes knowledge, wisdom, virtues, health and everything. Ishwara is the embodiment of these all kinds of wealth. So Sai Maheshwara, we adore Lord Sai as verily Lord Shiva himself. Let's move on to the sixth line.
Sai Avatara, Yuga Avatara.
the Summer Course Discourse in May 2000, Bhagwan revealed the inner significance of the Holy Trinity. Swami even mentioned during the discourse that this was the first time that he had revealed how the vision of the Trinity can be had within one's own self. And Swami said, it is not possible to directly see the Trinity in the cosmos. However, if one is able to understand the Trinity principle within oneself, then it becomes easier to comprehend the Trinity in the cosmos. The Atma or the Hridaya, the spiritual heart, is also known as Ishvara, that is Maheshwara. The mind is born of the Atma and it is the embodiment of Vishnu. Since the mind pervades the whole universe, it is identified with Vishnu. And next we have Brahma. Traditionally, Brahma is pictured as being seated in a lotus that emerges from the navel of Vishnu. In the individual, Brahma is associated with speech. He manifests as the spoken word. This is because the mind is the origin of word. And so, when understood from this light, Brahma, Vishnu and Ishvara have no specific form, but they manifest in the individual as these three principles. Swami says, be firm in the faith that a pure heart is Ishvara, a pure mind is Vishnu and pure speech is Brahma. Rooted in this faith, make proper use of your God-given faculties. Good results then would inevitably follow, and in the end, Swami says, you are certain to merge with the Lord. So in this line, Sai Avatara, Yuga Avatara, we bow down to the all-merciful Lord who has taught us how to be pure in thought, in word and in deed. Let's move on to the seventh line.
Satya Sai, Prema Sai.
Here Satya refers to truth. Prema is divine unconditional love. So in this line we bow down to Lord Sai, who is the embodiment of truth as well as unsullied divine love. Let's move on to the next line.
Sab dharmo ke baba Sai.
Sab means all and dharmo is the plural of dharma, and in this context dharma refers to religions. Ke means of and Baba means father. So in this line, Sab Dharmo Ke Baba Sai, we hail Lord Sai as the one who is worshipped by all the faithful, be it Hindus, Muslims, Christians. He is the one who belongs to all the religions and is beyond the religions. We now come to the last line.
Sai Parameshwara.
Parameshwara comes from Parama meaning supreme and Ishvara means Lord. So in this line, Sai Parameshwara, we call out to Lord Sai, who is indeed the supreme master of this universe. So with that, dear listeners, we have finished gaining a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan. And with this deeper meaning, let us now proceed listening to the complete version of the bhajan. You will now hear the bhajan as sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir. And as you listen, dear listeners, here is another chance for you to join and practice one more time.
Sai Avatara, Yuga Avatara. Sai Avatara, Yuga Avatara. Thank you.
Now, before we conclude this program, here is a small excerpt of a conversation with Brother Sonam Gyamso, a former student of Bhagwan's university, who had the chance of interacting with Bhagwan at very close quarters and also singing and composing many Sai bhajans for so many years, for decades.
Vishu, one of the bhajans that I always love to sing before Bhagwan, and normally bhajans that I composed used to be very slow types, you know. Bhajans which had a very slow rhythm,
yes.
Slow tempo. But this was a bhajan, you remember this bhajan? Sai Baba, sakal bhuvan ke data.
Oh yes.
Sai Baba, sakal bhuvan ke data. Rup manohar kamalakanta, yuga avatar Sai Baba. दया करो प्रतिबाबा शिरडी परती हृदय निवासी प्रशांति सुंदर साए प्रशांति सुंदर साए साए बाबा सकल भुवन के दाता.
May I ask you, what was the predominant feeling in your mind when these lyrics came out in the form of this beautiful tune?
Now, if I get into that, it's a very melancholic thing. Though it's a medium-paced version, but then it cries out. And that was a time when I was getting very badly hit. From everywhere, I felt that it was the end of the world. And that happens when the Lord doesn't look at you, talk to you, and puts you in the right place, you know. So that was the first time I was being hit very badly. And I was getting what we call the cold shoulder treatment of Bhagwan. And this bhajan was almost a prayer.
Yes, I mean, you are saying you are everything. Yeah, you are the one who rules the universe. Yeah. You are the one who made everything. When you think about it, whether you are a bhajan singer or whether you are an athlete or whether you are a dramatist, Swami's focus all the time is only one. You have to grow spiritually.
Exactly. That's all. In fact, he says, at another point of time, I think I've shared this again earlier, Swami said, I don't have any mission. You are only grafting so many missions on me. I don't have any mission. I am not a missionary, Swami said. My only concern, for which this avatar has manifested, is your redemption, your salvation. The salvation of every sentient and insentient being. That is all, Swami said. All the rest of the whole thing is a commentary on that.
Exactly.
That's what Swami said.
So that brings us to the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Vachan Classroom. We hope you like this. As always, if you have any queries or comments, please feel free to send us your emails. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. Your audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. We offer this yet another episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan.